Welcome to iPodcast Magic Missile, where we play games and talk geek. Broadcasting every week from the New River Valley in the beautiful mountains of Southwest Virginia, we bring you audio from some of the most exciting games, new and old. No actual wizard spells here, just actual play from great games. This is iPodcast Magic Missile. This game that we're playing today is called Durance, and I'm going to be facilitating because we haven't played it before, and it's going to be easier with four, it's better with four players than five, and then I can focus all my energy on making sure we're playing it right. What is this game about? On a remote planet far from civilization, the worst criminal scum from a dozen star systems have been dumped, charged with building new lives into the watchful eye of authority. Within a brutal hierarchy of savagery and servility, convicts and guards alike must make hard choices. Every colonist has their own code of conduct and their own aspirations, aspirations that invariably come at the expense of others. This dangerous new world is too small for everyone to succeed. In fact, it may well be too small for anyone to succeed. Only the shrewdest, the toughest, and the luckiest will get a chance to find out. Basically, this is the story of Australia.
In space!
It's Australia in space. So, you have a bunch of convicts that have been sent out to colonize a new land instead of being, a new wonderful planet. So, instead of, being thrown into prisons, because there's just not enough prison space. So, how this was supposed to work. The transport ships of the First Fleet carried with them the rudiments for a colony, at least what the authority imagined a penal colony would look like. The goal from the very beginning was self-sufficiency, an initial foothold, return into a viable colony, and eventually a successful member of the authority's interstellar commonwealth. The convicts were given three broad mandates: eat what you grow, do your own time, and look to the future. How the world actually works. Three convict mandates have rapidly deteriorated into something more pragmatic. Eat what you can, do what you're told, and look to your next meal. Colonial society is like a ladder, two ladders actually, lashed together by miserable circumstance. On one side is the authority, the power of the distant government and her not-so-distant marines. The other side represents the vast constellation of criminal enterprise in opposition and concordance. They are lashed together so tightly that at times one cannot distinguish one from the other. One is right and one is, well, wrong, but if you're at the top, that hardly matters. And the boldest men do hop to and fro, don't they? Climbing a ladder means safety, comfort, and a full belly. Getting kicked down or wrong means the opposite, to put it mildly. So, at the top, you have the governor, who's the leader of the colony, and the Dimberdamber, who is the criminal-in-chief. The second rung, captain of the Marines, is exactly what you'd expect the captain of the Marines to be. The judge advocate is the magistrate, the voice of civilization and jurisprudence. The captain sharp is also the second rung, and that's the Dimberdamber's chief lieutenant. He bears the title as a deliberate mockery of the Marines' rank and power. He's a homicidal thug, typically he's the enforcer, a paragon of corruption and violence. The abbot is the paragon of vice, drugs, gambling, prostitution, luxury items, and all the rest of that stuff. The swells. Swells are free men and women who settle a colony for perverse reasons of their own. They pay their own way, seeking an opportunity, or running away from one. Some are professionals, some are planters, some are spouses. Bolters, on the other side. Bolters are outlaws. They range from Robin Hood-like crusaders to cannibal lunatics. Marines, on the fourth rung. Marines are here because they listen to the siren song of a lying recruiter. They're as effectively imprisoned as the convicts they guard. They're commanded by the captain of the Marines. And depending on the leader's temperament and inclinations, they may be professional soldiers or ragged criminals themselves. Lags and Sables, that's on the criminal side. Lags and Sables are men and women convicted of crimes against the authority important enough to merit some severe punishment, but trivial enough to prevent their summary execution. It's basically the difference between Lags and Sables is Lags are workers and Sables are whores. But other than that, it's about the same thing. At the bottom rung are the Emancipists. Emancipists are free convicts who have made their peace with the authority and taken their freedom. A single word from the authority can take away that ticket of leave and put them back in chains. Wreckers. This is on the convict side. Wreckers are political prisoners and troublemakers. They are universally hated by the authority and lagged them alike because of their dangerous ideas have ruined entire planets. Whether their beliefs are religious, political, or simply philosophical, their words infect other colonists and undermine the established order. They're typically assigned to do backbreaking manual labor as punishment. And the last and least are the crawlers. These are the people who are broken, aged, infirm, and or insane. They can't work anymore. No one pays them any mind. Planetary Survey and Colonial Record. That is this guy here. Okay. So, the Planetary Survey and Colonial Record worksheet includes a pair of checklists from the 12 assessments necessary for a successful settlement on an alien world. Half of these relate to the planet itself, and half relate to life in the new colony. In ideal circumstances, all 12 are favorable. These are not ideal circumstances. Start with the planet, without adding anything yourself. So this would be me. Hand the planetary survey to the player on my left, and ask them to choose one of the six assessments that is truly favorable and circle it.
This is, okay.
For example, then have them choose one that is false and cross it out. Oh yeah, so it's just going to rotate around, and you're going to start with the planetary survey on the top, and then once the three people finish that, then the next person will start with the colonial record. Does that make sense? So pick any one and circle it. That's good. It's a thing that happens. Cross out any other one. That is bad. That is a thing that you do not have. So what
geology
are you circling?
Geology is stable.
Geology is stable. Yay!
Yay!
What is not?
Atmosphere is not excellent.
No, atmosphere is not excellent. L, how about you go?
Hydrology is favorable.
Yay.
Biology is not benign.
Oh.
All right. Ooh, 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 ooh. Climate is mild.
Yay.
Yay.
And intelligent life is not absent.
Oh.
Let's go with the planning is meticulous. Order, not so much.
The workforce is motivated.
But
prosperity is not.
All the best intentions, right?
Justice universal.
Mm.
Density not low.
That's it.
Random.
All right.
There.
So, read me off the three letters that you did pick.
B, C, and D.
You have Twins World. T-W-Y-N-N-S, apostrophe S, world. Write that down for your planet. Twins World. Initial survey. I have named this planet after myself because it is such a promising prospect that I am sure to be enshrined forever by this action. Twins World has a stable geological profile, a gentle climate, and abundant water. Recommendation for colonization. Twin, Captain, Survey Vessel, Frederick Valentich. Revised survey. The atmosphere is dense and difficult to breathe, making fieldwork slow and painful. Local flora is alternately aggressive and explosive. Intelligent creatures are very hostile. Coming here was a mistake.
I explain it.
All right. So write down a couple of write down on the planetary survey. Write down notes next to the things you crossed out. Dense atmosphere, aggressive or explosive flora, aggressive and explosive flora, hostile intelligent creatures. So they give a couple of a list of optional details, and I think what we should probably do is pick some or all of them. And these can be written on the in notes in the margin on the planetary sheet or whatever. We can decide which ones we want. Maybe pick three of them. But I think we'll stick by the book for the first time through because I like to do that. So first is optional details. One, Twins Abyss, uncharted cave system in Bolter Haven. Two, a garden of death cultivated by a madman. Three, an 8-foot animal snare pole modified to deliver an electric shock. Four, a rare shrub yielding berries with hallucinogenic properties. Five, an abandoned research station with windows shattered outwards. Six, Creech tried to reason with it.
I like the abyss. I think the abyss is awesome.
So write Twins Abyss next to the on the top on the side, like there next to the planet.
I like the Garden of Death.
Garden of Death.
I want to see
cultivated by a madman.
I want to see the research lab.
An abandoned research station with windows shattered outwards. All right. Now, read me the other three.
U, W, and Z.
Delta Colony. The authorities say, don't work, don't eat. That's our motto, and it is hard but fair. There may not be enough food, but there's work enough for all. maintaining the defensive perimeter wall, keeping our densely packed colony tidy and ship-shape, assisting the authority in myriad tasks necessary for the continuance of our functioning judiciary. The lags are docile and obedient, only the terminally lazy go hungry. The convicts say, don't work, don't eat. Don't fight, don't eat. Don't know the right sort of people, don't eat. Don't do what the Dimmer Damper tasks of you, don't eat. There's a spiral there is, with the weak getting weaker and the fat getting fatter, and authority don't care. They do not, and it is a fact writ large upon every hateful, well-fed face among them. A lag gets his food stolen by a stronger lag, and, well, that's just a lag trouble, isn't it? They make us into animals and then whip us and call us beasts. Details available here are, and I will read them, a crudely hacked passkey to the thermopool core. If celebrating death is a sin, may Margaery Hood live forever. Lieutenant Gurith's undoctored medical records, a blank arrest warrant, a crack in the wall crudely plastered over, the case of missing fragmentation grenades, carefully shepherded by cooler heads.
Grenades.
I want the crack in the wall.
The crack in the wall, crudely plastered over. We'll write that down. Crack on the other side, I guess.
Yeah.
Crack in the wall, crudely plastered over. Missing fragmentation grenades. Can you hear my air quotes?
Yeah. Yep.
The celebration of death.
If celebrating death is a sin, may Margaery Hood live forever.
I like that one.
Margaery Hood?
So now we have Margaery Hood. Yeah, it is a character now. M-A-R-G-A-R-Y H-O-O-D. Margaery Hood. Okay. Is now a character. It doesn't have to be one of the player characters, but is a character. Write that down. So now we have our colony. We are a Delta colony on Twins World. Lovely. Alright. So now we have a lot of stuff filled out. Step 3, drives. So the uncertainty triangle consists of 3 drives. Savagery and servility represent the explicit and implicit exercise of power. They are universal constants in all penal colonies and are preset. On the third point of the uncertainty triangle, the unique drive that serves as counterpoint to savagery and servility shapes the nature of your nascent colony. Because this drive is a vital part of the game's resolution mechanism, your choice will strongly influence your game's overall feel, so remember that. Continuing from where you left off in the rotation, so 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, Duncan. Each player in turn crosses off a drive option until there's only one left. And that will be the drive for your colony.
I saw that coming.
That'll be more fun.
What's left?
Indulgence.
Type in... Or, that type. Write indulgence in the box at the bottom there. Ah, step 4, notables. Notables are your cast of characters and the focus of the game. During play, you and the other players will each advocate for the notables you create. It is likely you will also betray them in scenes, but they are fragile tools the other players can use in the service of the overall story. Your notables might even die. In short, don't get too attached. Alright, so you can write on either side, but you will have to have 2, and they will have to be on opposite sides of the ladder and in different rungs. There's a list of names you're encouraged to use. I think they're scrambulated names of people who are in the original colony. Like, they ran them through a random word processor, but using the original syllables.
You mean in Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No. So they're all very Anglo-sounding without actually being English names. First, pick a rung and a role within that rung. And a gender, probably.
Kind of, I'm the abbot.
All right. Then you're the abbot. Alright, is the abbot a boy or a girl? Oh, you know what? You're gonna roll dice.
Oh.
Ha!
What kind of dice?
2d6, different colors. Alright, roll 2. 4, 5.
No, 54.
Nope.
I said red first.
Oh, okay, 5, 4.
I did!
It's true, he did! I heard it.
Your first name is Freita, F-R-E-T-A.
F-R-E-T-A?
Yep. Freita, and last name, roll them again. This also sometimes generates families.
15.
Haley. H-A-L-E-Y.
A member, or I will be, the judge advocate and captain of the Marines.
No, you get one or the other.
Oh.
Are you the judge advocate or the captain of the Marines?
I'll be the judge advocate.
Alright. Judge advocate is a boy robot or a girl robot?
Boy robot.
Boy robot. Roll dice for boy robot.
He's a robot?
No, he's not a robot at all.
Aww.
It is a 3-4.
Frandon, F-R-A-N-D-O-N. Roll again.
4-6.
Varford, V-A-R-F-O-R-D. You're Frandon Varford.
I'm going to take a bolter.
Awesome.
And we're going to make him a boy robot.
Roll dice.
41.
41. Anders.
Anders.
Yes.
Anders. Anders. 22.
He's the avatar.
Gunmith. G-U-N-M-I-T-H.
Gunmith. Badass name for a badass dude.
Anders Gunmith.
Alright, I'm going to take a crawler.
See him fight.
I'm going to see how this goes.
Walker.
So I'm going to be a male crawler.
Alright, roll.
64.
Gilly. Or Gil, sorry. G-I-L-L-E.
And 56.
Larly. No. Fowderhop.
And now we know what
F O W D E R H O P. Sorry. Gil Fowderhop.
That's hot.
It is hot.
That's why he's a crawler.
Yeah.
He's not cool enough to be a bolter.
He got the last tickets on the day they were got names.
I thought we were supposed to write our names.
Alright, now you have to take one from a different rung on the opposite side of the thing.
How about Marine? And female again. 23.
Jemmy. J-E-M-M-Y.
14.
Saw. S-A-U-X.
I'll be the Dimmer Damber. We all knew it was either the governor or the Dimmer Damber. I've made my choice.
Well, now we know which side is the bad guys.
They can be both bad guys.
The higher you are, the more likely you are to be a bad guy in this game.
Upper portion of the bad guys.
What's your other dude?
My other one is the judge.
Okay, yeah, so you're in the authority. And then, okay, Dimmer Damber. Dimmer Damber is gender.
A lady.
The lady Dimmer Damber. Not Dimmer Damber the upright man. Dimmer Damber the upright woman. Roll a...
5? 3. 53. 55.
Julene.
Only sometimes.
65.
Oaks. O-A-K-E-S. Julene Oaks.
Well, I'm going to take the governor.
Yes.
And I'm going to make her a girl robot as well.
Okay. Roll dice.
32.
Sela. S-E-L-A.
Sela Green.
S-E-L-A?
I hope.
Is that a thing?
Oh, CeeLo Green. Is
11.
Croffin. C-R-O-F-F-I-N. Sela Croffin, Governatrix.
Oh, my.
Governatrix, writing that down. Okay.
No, I'm going to be an emancipator. Yeah, emancipist. Emancipist, sorry.
Bound along on both sides.
Well, I guess I'm a free colonist. Oh, I have to choose whether I'm a swell, a planter, or a spouse. What are swells again?
Swells are like professionals and spouses of important people. Planters are farmers. And emancipators. What's the emancipist?
The other one is spouses.
What? Oh.
So clearly swells aren't spouses.
No, you're right. You're right, yeah.
So swells are just important people?
Yeah, professionals and important people.
Fancy
like
pants.
Doctors and other equally fancy pants.
I want to be a spouse. I'm going to be a female spouse.
All right. Roll female.
That. 51.
Roll plus female.
All right. Yeah, 51.
Laura. L-O-R-A.
And...
Can you give me something to drink?
Croft. 34. I mean, 36. Sorry.
Let me see if there's a Croft. There's a Croffin.
Well, that would be interesting.
No. There's already a
Croft.
Atkin. A-T-K-I-N.
Lost a lot of weight recently,
wait.
I guess.
Actually, any character in a position on a ladder can be male, female, or something in between. I did not read that. Lists of names were only male and female. I suppose you could pick from either. Do we have any intersex or ambiguous people on the ladder?
I'm fine. Sounds
good. Okay. Oaths. So, we have to author oaths for the colony's notables. An oath is something a character is sworn never to do. and the staff, you and the other players will choose them for your notables. Maybe it should be a very serious thing. It should be something that will conflict with your colony's unique drive. Note there's something to be challenged. It should motivate the other players to create difficult situations for your notable. If you choose, "I will never wear chains again," as an oath, you're asking everyone else to put you in situations where returning to convict life is tempting or even essential. Outward-facing oaths that involve other characters are better than inward-facing ones for this reason. Swearing oaths. Continuing with the rotation. So who, I think Yanni is next. Dumbling is the last one.
Yeah.
Hand the colonial noble sheet to the next player and ask them to choose one of the notables. And have them consult the list of oaths and select one. So I think what I'm going to probably do is do this in reverse. So I think it will make more sense. The format of all of the oaths is everyone wants indulgence is the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, everyone wants indulgence, but I will never blank to get it. Okay? So that's how that works. And you're going to write the oath somewhere in or next to the box associated with that. It doesn't have to be your character. That's important. But I think what's best, honestly, is maybe pick an oath. We will randomly roll an oath first,
mm-hmm.
and then decide who it goes along with.
Okay.
Who would be most interesting. Is everyone okay with doing it that way? That's a little bit backwards.
That's fine by me.
Or we can do what it says to do, is just pick one and then roll randomly, and I guess if it doesn't make sense, we can re-roll.
I like the rolling and then
deciding which one it goes to.
Right.
I like that one.
Roll.
15.
I will never miss an opportunity to eat well.
Oh, I'm taking that one.
The abbot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I honestly sort of feel like these are general enough that it's more interesting to pick first and then enroll. So let's actually that's fine for now, but let's actually do it that way from now on. Sorry.
Okay.
Great. You want to pick one while he's writing?
All right.
No. Pick a character.
Oh, I see.
And then I'll tell you what it is. If you don't know.
Let's see. Gil.
Who is Gil?
Gil.
Fowderhop, the crawler.
Yeah. I think we should just call him Fowderhop.
He will never steal or let a theft go unpunished.
Yeah,
write it down. Which is interesting for a crawler.
That probably explains why he's on the bottom. Is he's kind of screwed himself over.
Yeah, see, I think doing this randomly is actually better because now there's some interesting detail that forces you to think about
mm-hmm.
who that character is rather than coming up with a preconceived notion. So while he's writing, why don't you, L, pick?
I would like to see what the, let's see what Frandon, the judge, what his motivation is. 44.
I will never abuse my power.
Oh!
Well, snap.
See, again, it takes the character in a different direction than you expected.
More
all right.
Be unexpected.
Well, it's random. Wrong for Mr. Gunman.
He's
the bolter.
Bolter.
Again, myth 24.
I will never show a weaker man mercy.
See, that's not breaking the mold.
How about the spouse, Laura?
Okay, roll.
64.
65.
I will never place the people's freedom over my own comfort.
And Selah Crawford.
Selah Crawford is the...
Governatrix.
44 again.
Do a different one.
51.
I will never let honor interfere with personal gain.
Let's do,
Is there any more on that one?
Dimber Dammer's last one.
Dimber
so let's
Dimber.
Do Dimber Dammer. 22.
Okay. I will never prevent... blank from being harmed, and you have to pick a person or a group. I would pick another player or class of people on the
other side.
I was
thinking he doesn't give a crap about like some lower level.
Yeah, so I'll never prevent
outcasts. Sound good? The outcasts, the wreckers, and crawlers.
Yeah. He doesn't give a crap. Doesn't give a shit.
Last and not least, Jimmy Sachs.
Who is?
Or so.
14. Marine.
I will never deny or abandon my faith.
Is it like religion, or is it like faith in humanity?
I suppose if you pick the rule of law, that could be the faith.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Or that...
She came with such high ideals. Let's break her. Does everyone have their oaths written on their character sheets as well? Or their note cards?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or you can read them off, though. Because it's... Alright, so let's take the authority figures from the top.
So
the governor is played by Elle, and it is Cela...
Crofton?
Crofton. Yep.
Cela Crofton. And her oath is...
Never let honor interfere with personal gain.
Alright. Next down from that is the judge advocate.
Frandon Varford.
Frandon Varford, and his oath is...
To never abuse his power.
Who's playing...
I
you, no, okay. And then next below that we have a free spouse.
Laura Atkin.
Played by Duncan, yes.
Who will never place people's freedom over her own comfort.
And finally, we have Marine Jimmy So.
Jimmy So, who is will never her abandon her faith in the law.
Yes.
Or deny it.
Yep. Jimmy, I'm sorry, not Jimmy. All right, and now on the convict side, we have at the top the Dimber Damber is
Julene Oakes.
Oh, she, not he.
She,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Who will never prevent outcasts from being harmed.
And below that we have the abbot, played by Yanni. Who's playing Julene? Is that
you?
Oh, that's Will, okay.
The abbot is Frida Haley. I will never miss an opportunity to eat well.
And that is played by Yanni, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Below that is...
We've got a bolter, Anders Gunsmith. Or Gunmith, sorry.
You can throw an S in there, but it'll really bother you.
No, I like it without the S.
I will never show a weaker man mercy.
And that's you, Duncan, right?
That's me.
No, that's
oh, that's
it.
You. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And finally.
We've got an outcast, Gil Fowderhop, who will never steal or let a crime go unpunished.
I love that name. Can I just say I love that name? It's
and,
a great name!
And, what was the guy's name again? Gil Fowderhop?
Fowderhop.
Fowderhop's a crawler, right?
He sure is.
Okay. Alright. So you all have your oaths, and the planet, and the colony, and all the rest of that stuff. So, the next thing you want to do is general look and feel of the colony. What's the colony like? What does technology look like? How has the nature of the planet changed it? Discuss the relationships implicit among the colonial nobles we've created. Again, we don't have to write this stuff down, but this is now going to enter into the fiction here. Let's see. I actually, I as host, have to fill in the last two notables, so I'm going to do that while... Give me the sheet, because we have a name here already. So this is the...
Delta Colony?
That's true.
No, this is Margery Hood.
As far as flora goes, rather than, like, rifle bullet thorn shooting plants, we did already
the Jordan
establish... That there are explosive
and aggressive
flora. I want to suggest that there are mortar plants that reproduce by like shooting off explosive shells that like dig a crater where the new plant grows.
That is amazing.
And since it's probably
I was
going to
suggest hydrogen film that if they're pierced then they erupt in flame.
Maybe that's how they launch the mortar. So
are these mortars or are these landmines?
No,
I think they're mortars.
I think they're mortars because it spreads the seeds.
Like, you don't go through the fields where they grow.
How about it also acts as like flax? So you can't fly planes to over the places where this grows. It restricts it to land based travel with like super heavy top armor.
Just don't fly during the propagation season. You'd be fine.
It's fun.
What if the natives are plants? What if they're like
intelligent
plants?
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
What if we
established the natives are intelligent and hostile, right?
So
yeah.
I don't know how much we're supposed to be establishing.
That's
here,
fine. No, these are perfectly good
what
details.
What if, like, the natives are part of some, like, plant-based hive mind type thing? So, like, it grows on runners, and there aren't actually that many of them, but they have, like, you know.
So there's like a home
nodes.
Like, node, and then there's, like, a whole bunch of vines
like,
and stuff.
I don't know if... I don't know how many of you have had gardening as a job for several years running,
However, when you're pulling up, say, like, wild strawberries or something,
mm-hmm.
you pull it up, and then you try and follow the runner, because if you just pull it, then it'll break and it'll disappear into the underbrush. But if you can follow that runner, you know, you might follow it across the yard, and then finally get to the root, pull that out, and then you've got the strawberry. Or not the berry, but the... You've killed the plant successfully.
So the question is, how do these plants communicate with each other?
Details.
Well,
in universe, not strawberries.
Maybe we don't
know. Yeah, well, like, you know, like, connected physically.
So all of them are connected to a single root plant.
Not necessarily. Well, yes, all of them are connected to a single root plant, but there are multiple single root plants.
My question is, how do the roots talk to each other?
Maybe.
Or do they not?
Maybe we don't know.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Or maybe it's just like spores or something. And also, presumably, they're like runner entity things that we actually encounter could just like have mouths and talk. I don't even know.
Yeah. Why not?
All right.
So we also have a dense atmosphere. What if visibility is fairly limited?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just hard to breathe, but it's hard to
right.
see.
Like misty.
What if it's very carbon dioxide filled, carbon dioxide heavy? So you actually have to use humans actually have to have respirators to for a long period.
One
of time.
One imagines that most civilization exists within pressurized, like all vehicles and colony pods are pressurized, which is actually why space is so tight. Because you've built these like dome
mm-hmm.
spheres to hold out the planet's pressure, which they're actually negative pressure, right? So, because you actually want to maintain a more Earth-like atmosphere inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could go outside. It's just not that great an idea because, you know, you get kind of lightheaded and it's
right.
just
even better. Even better. Even with the respirators, because the pressure outside is like being deep below the ocean, you start getting
bug eyes.
No.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
So if you... No, it's the opposite of that. If you
sunken in eyes.
Rapid compression, not decompression, rapid compression is often, like, fatal. Like, you blow out your eardrums, for instance. Like, if you
mm-hmm.
if you're in a suit and somebody just pulled your helmet off, you can adapt to... With a rebreather, you can adapt to, like, the air outside, but you still have the problem of high pressure, so over time you can develop, like, narcosis from the nitrogen, or you can develop, like, oxygen poisoning, or any of these other things. Like, it's people tend to go crazy if they spend too much time outside with just a rebreather and no pressurized suit, because high pressure messes with your brain. And if you try to go back in too quickly, you get the bends.
Yep.
What if there's like a bolter colony, or maybe just individual bolters that are outside of the colony that are crazy because of that?
I think some of them are crazy because of that. Some of them can handle the pressure, some of them can't.
Yeah.
That's what it is. They all have to have rebreathers because the carbon dioxide atmosphere would be toxic.
What if the mad gardener has, developed some sort of biological rebreather?
Ooh,
and his, like,
yeah,
garden
that could
of
be
death.
The mad gardener.
That's cool.
That's cool. Also, Matt is a hatter.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. He's been out there
like
way
the
too long.
He's, one guy who the plant people don't hate because he, like, lives among the plant people. And he's mad.
Could be part of the Garden of the Death, is him,
but he's a
meatitarian. People and it not being an easy process.
He's a meatitarian, so it's okay. He doesn't eat plants.
All right, so I'm going to give you a quick idea of how the scenes go. So at the beginning of the scene, whoever's the guide will rotate. I will start as the guide. You ask a question. So the question typically should be something like. They give you an example here. I wonder if the governor has the stones to put the Dimmerdammer on trial, having sworn never to betray him. like you see what I'm saying? Like, ask a question preferably involving one or more characters and preferably involving their oath. You can even... It's a little bit of a dick move to do, but you can kind of... you can even ask a question of, like, that implies the character already broke their oath, which means that character's going to be gone at the end of the scene.
Really?
Yeah. This is, again, don't get too attached to your characters.
So when you break your oath,
you rotate out, and yeah, the game ends when I think the game ends when like four or five characters have broken their oaths or died. So basically, I can only ask, as a guide, I can only ask the question. I typically do not involve my own characters, but I don't have any right now, but that'll affect Will when it's his turn. Again, try to make it an interesting question that ties into oaths. And then you play the scene. So, I can, as a guide, I can ask questions during the scene. So I can ask, I wonder, what does that look like? Or tell me a little bit more about that. So the sort of things you do in an indie game as a GM, basically. Elicit stuff from the other players who are in the scene. I don't get to say who's... I don't actually get to say who's in the scene. So when you're not the guide, your objective is to see how things turn out. Don't get too invested in the success of your own notables, obviously. Scenes are explicitly about colony notables that you named. There may be other people. The story isn't about them. Create a scene collaboratively and set the stage for the guide. Describe the location where the scene is taking place. The course of a scene may make the question's answer obvious, but this won't always be the case. If at some point you're uncertain, go immediately to the dice. Guide should really frame hard once the scene starts. Push people towards whatever the question is, and then wrap it up immediately afterwards. Keep in mind, beyond your colleague's usual drive, everyone wants to move up the ladder. So, and everyone at the top wants to preserve the status quo.
Can we move up the ladder?
Yes, if someone dies or gets booted. Yeah, if the fiction demands someone leaves their post, someone else can move up, I think. I can... Someone breaks an oath. Oaths and the breakings of oaths are the heart of Durance. If your character breaks an oath, their personal story is nearing its conclusion. When an oath is broken, the player of the oath-breaking notable must immediately choose one of the following options. A notable, not necessarily the oath-breaker, changes position on the ladder. See below. That's one of the ways that you can change position. A planetary survey or colonial record assessment changes, for better or for worse. The unique drive for the game changes. Once the choice is made, the Oathbreaker is no longer notable. As a guide, don't ask any more questions about these characters. Players can still play Oathbreakers. They should fade into the background. It is possible that both of your characters' oaths are broken. If someone changes position on a ladder, change is inevitable. If your character is in transitioning, most likely because the oath was broken, adjust the position on a ladder to reflect the new colonial order. More than one character can occupy a position on the ladder. How this is possible for Governor Dimberdamber is a juicy mystery for you to solve. It's also perfectly acceptable once play begins for players two notables to end up on the same side of the ladder, on the same rung, whatever else the fiction demands, blah, blah, blah. Most transitions are obvious from the fiction. If a notable dies, tell the player who created the character to claim a named but an unauthored notable on the colonial notable sheet. If there are no open positions, add one to a rung the player has not yet had a character occupy, even if it's already occupied by another notable. Ask the next player to the left to author an oath. Creating a new notable, blah, blah, blah. Consider using minor characters, etc. I need a game. Game endurance is about to end when the combined number of broken oaths and dead, insane, or missing notables exceeds the number of players. In other words, when half the starting notables have had their moment, it's time to wrap things up. As the host, it's my responsibility to always have an eye on the end game. Every time the guide duties rotate to me, take a moment to assess the direction the game story is taking, have a short conversation about it. So we actually discuss where the plot is going. This is a very collaborative, very much the opposite of microscope. So I'm going to ask the first question. The question is, does Laura Atkin convince her husband, friend in Varford, to put an emancipist back in chains so that she can have his food rations? So I think the emancipist in this case is going to be Davian Denson, who's the emancipist we created. Remember, the emancipists are former prisoners who can be put back in chains at any moment by the legal system for almost any excuse. But also note that friend in Varford has vowed never to abuse his power. But Laura Atkin has said she will never place people's freedom above her own comfort. So you guys need to set the scene, decide who's there and who's not and where it takes place. Just discuss amongst yourselves.
I was thinking my personal study.
I was thinking I barged through the door, flustered.
We already knew that.
I've had a terrible day, friend.
Describe what Laura Atkin looks like.
Not particularly tall. She's probably about 5'3".
Is she a frump?
She's
not a frump. She's
indulgent.
She's indulgent. She's healthy. And she wears all the best fashions.
at the same time?
Simultaneously. No. I mean, she has all the best fashions.
Let's actually keep this fairly serious.
She wears, you know, she wears all the best fashions day to day. Has an expensive handbag, or as expensive as you can get in the colonies. Is she...
Oh, so, if I may ask, she may not be looking for these food rations to eat herself, but because food is scarce, they're valuable. So it might be both. It could be that she's going to sell them, right? Or what? Why is she looking for these food? I'm asking you, why is she looking for these food rations?
What if they're meal vouchers?
She,
in that they're like a secondary currency within the colony.
I like that.
Okay, mm-hmm. So it's basically
because,
money.
Yeah, she needs. You know, she's provided for, but it's. It's not really quite enough. I mean, like, why do we get the second best brand of bread? We could afford the best brand, but you won't give me enough to buy it. So, I have to make ends meet somehow.
So the emancipist in question is Mr. Davian Denson, who. Why have you chosen him? Did you choose him, or is this just an opportunity?
I think it's just an opportunity. I found he had dropped some meal tickets, and I found them.
And
I want to keep them.
I see. And so if he's put in chains, then he can't claim that you stole them from him.
Exactly.
Quick question.
That's
Varford.
Not what I said to you, for the record.
I know.
Judge Varford. Is this one of those things where if somebody is put away for a crime against you, you get their things? How does the justice system work here?
The punishment fits the crime.
I see.
It depends on the crime.
I see.
If someone stole from you,
then their property is forfeit. Alright. Anything else anyone wants to add before we start? What does Varford look like?
Varford is tall. He's about 6'4". Completely bald.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the startings of a mustache, but it's twinged with a little bit of gray. He's neat and precise, and he tends to think of the world as not being a morality system, but almost physics. That when something happens, something should counteract that.
Let's see this in play, though.
Yeah.
Okay. And... Is it normal for you two to have different last names?
People don't take other people's.
That's what I wanted to find out. Okay, so it's not unusual at all. In fact, it's expected. All right, so you walk into the study.
I barge into the study, flustered. My hair is all messy, and my dress is ripped. Brandon, oh!
So you've ripped your dress.
No, I've really... Oh, I've had a terrible day. I was attacked by one of the emancipists.
You were attacked by one of the emancipists?
Yes.
Well,
he was,
I suppose I'll be seeing him tomorrow then, right? You called the authorities?
Not yet. I came to talk to you first.
You came to talk to me before you saw the authorities? Were you not afraid of the attack on your life?
I got away. I just kept running and running from him.
Well, I suppose he can't come in here. Quite
a bit
of security.
He can't, can he?
No, dear.
Thank goodness.
That's what we have a doorman for.
I was at the market, and I think he was just furious because, you know, he saw all my nice things, and
He saw that I was free. And
he desired the objects as all poor do. And so he wished to take from you what was rightfully yours, yes?
Yes.
Did you get a scan of it?
No.
Can you describe him to one of our authorities? I can't do very much if I don't know who this man is.
Let's... It looks like there's not a way to resolve this immediately. Let's jump ahead to the next day.
Mm.
So they brought in Davian Denson, who matches the description of the... So would someone like to play Mr. So this is at what, the courthouse, at the police,
this would be the security station? This would be probably at the courthouse. Part of law is making sure that it is seen.
Yes. So this is actually, he's being dragged into a courtroom of sorts.
It's very public. Interrogations are public.
Yeah. Ooh. I like it. So who wants to play Denson?
I'll do it, but can I add one small detail? The atmospherics in the courthouse are better than anywhere else, so people come there just because it's more comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. So,
I think it's because people love the law.
Jimmy would agree with you.
You're being dragged in, and you, to add insult to injury, had your weekly rations stolen. Maybe weekly, so, monthly?
I don't know.
Monthly.
Oh, so that would be really horrible.
Whatever. Yeah. I haven't eaten since like yesterday.
Yeah. So you've had your meal ticket stolen, and you know you're what were you in for, Davian?
I'm thinking maybe violence.
Okay.
Like,
so
got in some brawls and stuff.
But you behaved yourself here, and you were let out as an emancipist. And now they're dragging you back into court. And so not only has someone stolen your things, they accused you of an assault that didn't happen. I mean, well, were you just trying to get... Did you tear her dress? Or did she tear her own dress?
I assume that happened on accident. Like, she was just kind of flustered.
Or she picked up his tickets and he tried to get them back from her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you...
What would you have done?
Yeah.
I'm thinking he didn't even know he had lost them until later.
I don't think I would have actually brazenly stolen them from you, like punched you in the face and taken them out of your hand, or even pulled them out of your pocket.
No, I think it's more likely.
I think
they were
probably sitting on the ground because they
fell out of your pocket.
You saw him
sitting there, so you could identify him, right?
Yes.
And so you tore your dress later then, to make it look like you'd been attacked?
I think I tore my dress on the way home, but I thought that would be really compelling. I don't think I could actually tear my dress on purpose.
So you're being dragged in. You're perfectly innocent. So he's in the box, and your wife is in the accuser's box? Is that how that works? And you are sitting up there as judge?
Yes.
The defense, as always, is entitled to their... Oh, would you like... How actually does this trial work? So who says what when? Or can we just jump to the point where Denison is giving his...
We can do that if you want.
Yeah, is giving his...
Maybe even if I'm not supposed to be speaking first.
I think the accuser should definitely speak first, though.
Yeah, but we've already heard the accuser's case.
Well, yeah.
So.
But I may be speaking out of turn while I'm yelling, you know. I didn't do anything. What are you guys bringing me in here for? This is bullshit. My stuff is missing. I'm not the one who should be. This is bullshit.
Can you prove that your stamps are missing, Mr.
Denison?
Denison. Well, they took all my shit when they brought me in, so you can look in your evidence locker or whatever and see if it's there or not.
Sir, you did not have any identification other than your main ID. You had no documents. You didn't even have a stamp to your name when they took you in.
Well, as I said, my wallet was stolen, so how can I have any of that stuff if all that stuff got stolen? Doesn't make any sense.
There are services that would provide replacements for many of those objects.
Right. So, but in order to get my stamps back, I need my ID. In order to get any of this back, bureaucracy is bullshit. Like, what am I supposed to do? Everything's gone.
It's a well-ordered society, but not particularly. That definitely fits with the colony. Does his case not seem reasonable? If there's no personal conflict for you, it's not an interesting scene. This is why I'm prompting you a little bit here.
Well, it seems to me that it's a situation where I have no evidence to convict him, but I have no evidence to absolve him either. What I need is some kind of security video.
You know what I think we actually need is the dice.
We need the dice?
Yeah, so hand me the sheet. So I get to pick two dice and roll them.
Mm.
And so I think...
because you're the framer?
Yes. Okay. I'm the guide for this scene. So I think I'm going to take... Well, we'll just roll up these two.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh. We have a tie. So
there's a twist.
There's a twist. We have six in indulgence, six in servility, three in savagery. So servility will dominate savagery in this instance, and that's up to you guys to decide what that means. But there is another thing that happens here. Tied sixes with a three. What could end this pain?
Oh, I can't even bear to see him walking in. Oh, he's just sitting there.
Mr. Jensen, in the absence of evidence for or against you, we will hold you until evidence can be brought one way or the other. However, you will be fined for not having the proper papers.
This is ridiculous. I've never seen her before. I was at the shop drinking and my shit got stolen. This is so typical of...
I think that's pretty much seen.
Mm-hmm.
Have you broken your oath?
I don't think so. I'm not entirely convinced that's an abuse of power.
I don't think he abuses power because it was... Well, it wasn't fair necessarily, but it was...
I think you played your characters well, but I think we went away from the question at hand, right? Because we were sort of targeting both of your...
So are we supposed to drop a character every scene?
No, but I think that for future... It's fine, we'll leave it as you didn't break your oath, but for future scenes, think about that. Like,
mm-hmm.
It would have been more interesting if you were trying to get him to be a co-conspirator and then he had to make the moral choice, choose between his wife and the welfare of someone with no political power at all. Do you see what I'm saying? All right, so you are now going to be the guide.
How does Freda Haley eat so well when crawlers like Gil Fowderpop starve?
And let's reiterate what the station and the oath are for those people.
Abbot is Freda Haley, and Abbot will never miss an opportunity to eat well. However, Gil Fowderhop is a crawler and never steals and never lets a crime go unpunished. If I understand this game properly, what's going to happen is you guys are going to be trying to fight on the sliding scale of you breaking your oath and you breaking your oath.
Yes, those are the best scenes.
Mm, yeah.
Those are the directions we go.
Yeah, don't think of this is who my character is, this is what they... You don't know who your character is yet, you only know their oath and a few details about them.
Mm.
Instead, think about... We're going to have this interesting moral interplay between two people who have sworn who have sworn oaths to themselves, if not to other people, that tell you a little bit about who they are, and let's see the interplay there. So if you have to adjust your idea of who the character is to fit the scene, we haven't seen them yet, that's a good thing to do. Because it's going to produce an interesting scene and possibly an oath, a broken oath, which will forward the game.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I have an idea for an idea I have, which is the abbot wants to frame DVM.
Who? He's already in custody.
He's in custody, but they don't have anything on him. If we had a witness who could testify against him, then... the Denver Damber might be able to get a few extra food rations too. And of course, if you helped.
Okay, so you're trying to convince, because you're a crawler. I'm sorry, you should be asking these questions, yeah. But
so, as a crawler, would you have been able to witness something like this?
Presumably.
There's a market section where the perpetually lazy can look on the fruits of the labor of those who are willing to work to encourage them.
So heavily policed.
And so it's encouraged for your ilk to observe.
As there.
Why are you a crawler? I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your toes here. Please.
I got one arm.
That's perfect.
Got one leg.
Would it be cool if there's high security here, would it be cool if Jemmy was here as well and we can have her played by another character? By another player?
Sure.
Do you want to play Jemmy?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's a question
I don't mean to take one from
fine?
No, he's already playing one.
But I can't be two
people. You can't be two people.
I'm not that schizophrenic.
Wait.
So Jemmy, you're sort of a background character in the scene, but you're working security in the market where...
Okay.
Why do they call you the abbot?
Because I'm fat.
Oh. Well played.
Which might be because I always eat well.
So, to set the scene, there's market stalls, and then there's people with money... And I sort of feel like there's a line of Marines. They're widely spaced, but if you can't show a little jingle, you don't get past to the market stalls.
Maybe there's like a chain link fence sort of deal, and there's like checkpoints.
I almost like the shark cage feel of... Not shark cage, like the invisible fence.
Okay.
Because it's more powerful.
Yes.
Okay. It's more powerful than a real fence.
Maybe it's just, like, a line painted on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a line painted on the floor, but the Marines are standing there. So which side of the fence... Which side of the fence are you guys actually going to have your little conversation on?
I think...
We're on the Vic side.
On the what?
The Vic side. The convict side.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
I can go on the fancy side, because I'm rich enough. And I've seen you eyeing the other side, so I think that's actually why I'm approaching you.
All right.
Well,
unseen.
So, Gil, see you eyeing the fine foodstuffs they got over there. I might have a spare voucher or two if you'd be willing to help me out.
A spare voucher? Like, what, like the ones that man over there dropped a few minutes ago?
Oh, you saw that.
Yeah, if I ever see that woman again, oh, yes sirree.
Well,
old Gilly's gonna have a thing or two to say about that.
What sort of thing?
Well, dishonest piece of scum like that, she don't deserve to be on that side of the fence.
That's not...
She'd fare much better over here.
That may be so, but wouldn't you rather be on the other side of the fence?
For sure.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're already on the side of the fence, it's not because you have the strictest morals ever, right?
I've done a few things in my time.
Now, I'm going to ask you... You know a little bit about the abbot. Have you ever heard of him doing... Have you ever heard of her having dealings that were above the table?
No.
As a person who is very much against stealing, how would you... Would you be a little nervous about any deal with the abbess?
I can't rightly say I trust her.
Probably good cause.
I stand up. Walk past you to the guard. Look at your name tag. Jimmy. Jimmy.
Jimmy.
Jimmy Sachs.
Can I help you? I have to ask you to back up.
Oh. Excuse me. All right. I wanted to report a crime.
Well, you can go down to the guard station just down there. They have all the necessary forms you can fill out.
Weren't but a few minutes ago. We still sent... They're still there. They're right there.
She kind of looks over her shoulder a little bit.
The man, the ugly one. He dropped his food tickets.
I do not see any food tickets on the ground.
I thought this was seen was later.
No. This is just you walked over.
This is happening now.
Yeah. But what are you willing to do? It looks like justice is going to be served in this case. What are you willing to do?
By principle. Can you allow this by principle?
Well, it's a missed opportunity if you walk away.
That's true.
It's because that lady there, the real fancy-like one, she took him.
The judge's
wife. I don't know.
Oh, and your faith in the law.
Could be. Mayhap.
You shouldn't go spreading nasty rumors. Hand lands heavily on your good shoulder.
This
Marine has much better things to do than to listen to your crazy
stories. I think
it's
dice time. Pick two and roll.
This is not to be trusted.
I love how you can short circuit so you don't you go around in circles while everyone argues their case for half an hour. Just roll the damn dice. Find out what happens.
Let's see. Just roll the three. We need to get triples.
Triples are pretty awesome. Boom. Do it.
We all
know. Roll them up. Quickly.
Almost.
Is that a six or a...
That's a one.
The one, okay.
So
indulgence dominates... indulgence dominates servility. Ooh.
So...
You're looking over there, maybe eyeing the food and... You break your oath.
Sounds like it. You're waving the stamps in front of my face, I presume.
No, not in front of the Marine.
I imagine you've probably backed off a little bit at this point, right?
Maybe your stomach rumbles.
To continue the conversation.
Well, maybe,
dramatically.
Can you hit me in the face with the rifle or something? Make it look like I put up a fight.
You get weirdos like that a lot.
Sir, please back up.
Gil, come on. We'll get some food.
Face rifle.
This
is not my character. This is me personally.
She wouldn't, though, just randomly. I mean, based on the law. She's not just going
to
randomly...
I'm obviously trying to wrongfully accuse the judge's wife.
She's still not going to rifle butt you for that.
Okay.
She's not breaking her oath.
I mean, if you try to, go across the line or something, you absolutely get a rifle butt in the face.
All right. Just right over there. Look, I'm going to step across this line here, and I'm going to... I'm just going to talk to her and get her to give back the tickets.
I'm pretty sure that, again... Indulgence is the dominate.
Just trying to get hit in the face with a rifle so I could successfully get away from the guard before I was flashed meal tickets.
Oh, I see. Okay.
My face as hard as physically possible.
Tries to cross you.
She pops you.
Hit me.
Yeah. Breaking the rules, and then
just pop. All the kind of other guards look over. She kind of radios in,
and then the other lags and crawlers and sables who are all on your side of the line and kind of looking at you see that blah blah blah, and then you guys sneak away in the
limp, bloody faced back to. All right,
no profit in trying to upset the order of things.
Apparently not. I guess I'll take you up on the meal tickets.
Alright.
At least I'll get a full belly.
So you have broken your oath. Cross, that character is still there, but fades into the background. At this point,
Fatter Hop, right?
Yeah, poor Fatter Hop.
Fatter Hop gets fat.
Yeah, so we have one down. So here's what happens now. At this point, and when, if somebody breaks an oath, a notable, not necessarily oath breaker, changes position on the ladder, that can cause doubling up.
Okay.
A planetary...
Wait, somebody you take my position?
A planetary survey, a planetary survey or colonial record assessment changes for better or worse, or the unique drive for the game changes. So you get to choose one of the you get to choose one of those. Do you want to change a notable's position on the rung? It's basically do you want to change one of the planetary survey or colonial record assessments, or do you want to change the unique drive for the game?
And you can make them better or worse. Like, this almost seems like something that might affect the colonial record or the drive more than, but again, it's entirely up to you.
Okay,
you want to move somebody around.
So do I just choose one of these and change it?
Yep, change it from an X to an O or an O to X.
Justice is not universal.
No, it's not.
I tried to serve justice.
Nice, okay.
I served dinner instead.
Apparently, it was delicious.
That character still exists, but is not a notable. You can still play him in scenes, or you can play somebody else in scenes, but we are one step closer to the end. You are now going... Yeah, you've already got it. Already on that.
I'm thinking that Jemmy, maybe a piece of what he said got her thinking. And she wants to make sure justice is served. Mm-hmm. And so she maybe approaches either the judge or maybe works her way up until she gets to the judge.
So phrase that in the form of a provocative question.
That's what I was hoping you guys could help me with, because I'm trying to figure that out.
Does Jemmy ensure that justice is served?
Yeah.
That work?
So what is the captain of the... What is the captain... Oh, we don't have a captain of the Marines, do we?
No.
Mm-mm.
Let's create a captain of the Marines, because I think that's an important character for this.
Who do we have?
Judge Amity,
right.
Yeah. I'm just going to use Australia. So we use Robbie Ross is the...
Robbie Ross
is the...
Robbie Ross.
We'll call it Roby. So make it one B, so make it a little more alien.
Roby Ross.
They have the actual people in all the spots for Australia. Your initial colony in Australia.
That's awesome.
Robbie Ross.
Okay, so the question is...
He did his research.
Does Jemmy see that justice is served?
So I think Jemmy's in the scene.
Yeah.
Roby might be in the scene. The judge might be in the scene.
Maybe Jemmy was accusing the judge's wife, and Roby decided...
To step in.
Set up a meeting, but not just between Jemmy and the judge.
Maybe that's
irresponsible.
Maybe Jemmy was questioning... the wife.
So who is...
And you certainly should not be questioned.
So who is... So who's in the scene?
Jemmy, Laura, and...
Roby?
Okay.
The judge is not there.
No judge?
We can have four characters. I will play Roby.
Roby has sat the two... Jemmy down on one side of the desk, or one side of the room, and then the couple on the other side of the room. And he says, Commander Ross says, these are some very serious allegations, Jemmy. Or, sorry, what's her last name?
Sal.
So.
Six.
Lieutenant
Saw. Saw. No, I like Saw, because it sounds like a thing that you cut stuff with.
It's very marine-like.
Yeah.
Let's go with Saw.
Sergeant Saw, these are some very serious allegations you're bringing against the wife of a very important person in this colony.
That's true. I would not have said anything, but what crawler in their right mind would make this kind of thing up?
A desperate crawler looking for food? Or a handout? Or a reward, perhaps?
It's well known among crawlers.
And you need them.
That... We do not hand out rewards for justice. Justice is its own reward. It disturbs me, Laura, because this seems like a very plausible allegation.
So you think there's some merit to this charge?
Merit?
You're
a crawler?
Crawlers have eyes.
He didn't seem particularly disturbed. I mean, no more than normal. It wasn't exposure. That's for sure. Certain. He was speaking in mostly complete sentences. And
well, it was within the walls of the colony, which, as far as I know, are sound. My men see to that.
Oh, no, absolutely. But, you know, sometimes there's after effects if you come in too fast or whatever.
Well, I've seen
it. Yeah.
It was
I have
an ugly
too.
Thing.
That was not the case. It was
maybe the crawler had a little too much to drink or something, or maybe he did see what he said he saw.
The description did match your outfit.
I pull the judge aside and I said, look, I understand your I'm not sure I understand what you're doing here. Are you really willing to put your wife under the fist of the law?
If she's innocent, she doesn't have anything to fear.
Well then.
Jimmy smiles, like, overhearing that, and kind of, like, leans back.
Laura, I'm afraid we're going to have a trial. But don't worry. I'm sure you're not guilty.
Are we at least going to... Am I going to get to see the face of my accuser?
You will. Tomorrow morning. I'm afraid you're going to have to go with Jimmy now. The law requires me to place you in incarceration.
If people with guns want to put me in chains, then I suppose I'm a pudgy housewife. So, I don't know what I'm going to do about that.
Well, I mean, unless you guys have objection, I go dice?
I say do the dice and see what the dice say. Maybe.
All right, go to the dice.
Maybe
if there's any questions,
like,
go to the dice.
Secretly a kung fu ninja.
Savagery.
Savagery dominates drive.
Okay. Flashing out. You're going to take me away on the accusation of some homeless people?
Let me ask you this question. Would you know whether, actually fighting, lashing out and actually, I guess, physically assaulting Marines, that's definitely an offense. And people, there's witnesses to that.
People definitely do that.
You might get put down. I don't know, Jemmy.
Well, the thing is...
I'm very threatening.
Do you get a shooter?
Well,
you're a judge's wife. Who would shoot
you? It might be more like...
If you grab
the gun.
If this is half the civilization I think it is, I'm fine.
So someone else might die. Here's the thing. If you get put in chains, your oath is broken, both of your characters are out. That doesn't mean you can still play other characters or whatever. If she shoots you, you get to pick another character.
Hilarious.
I'm fine with either outcome.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it to you, Duncan.
I'm lashing out. You get your hands off me! I'm a free woman!
Maybe she picks up a taser or...
Laura, stop!
No! You would betray me on the words of some home... The dregs of society?
Look,
my
man,
own
calm
husband?
Down.
No!
Yes.
Right in
the face. Right in the face with my fingernails, which are fake.
I think...
Fake nails come from Earth. They're very fancy.
Yeah, I think gun comes out and, like, one hand covering the semi-blinded eye, like...
She's resisting. You know what to do.
Alright, your wife has been shot in the head right in front of you for an accused crime. Congratulations.
For resisting arrest.
For a very visible crime.
It is conveniently a death sentence.
Okay, so,
solves a lot of problems. Legal costs way down.
So, yeah, so, is there another character you want?
Another character
is Davian is
alive.
Likely to be released now that his accuser is dead.
What? No. I can make a new one, right?
You can totally make a new one.
I want to make a Captain Sharp.
Ah, very nice. The enforcer. Alright, you have a gender?
Male. Super male.
Alright, roll.
Super male.
Extra male.
He's got two penises.
I heard motherfuckers
not quite
got, like, 30 goddamn dicks.
Levy,
L-E-V-E-Y. L-E-V-E-Y?
Yep, Levy. And roll two more dice.
Ah, yes. Snake eyes.
Croffin. We've had this before. Who's the other Croffin?
The Governator.
Yes! What a Levy. Well, let's make an oath for Levy first. This is great.
This is awesome!
33.
Hold on. I gotta find the... Oh, okay. Oath list, 33.
Twice his numbers.
I will never pay for protection.
Hell, I won't.
So, Levy.
I just rob people of condoms all the damn time.
What is your... what is Levy's relation to the Governatrix?
I think I'm the Governator's brother.
Nice. Interesting. So you frame the next scene. Or you ask the question, I should say.
Does Jimmy So survive meeting Anders Gunmuth? Who will never show a weaker man... a weaker man.
No, a weaker person.
Yeah.
Who will never show a weaker man mercy?
No man can kill me.
Alright.
I like that.
Alright. Oh, but I can't frame any more than that.
No.
Okay. Jimmy So will never deny or abandon my faith in the law.
The law.
I have an idea for how to make that relevant.
Give us, if you have an idea, you can spit that out.
I think Anders Gunmuth perhaps just got let out of harder penitence than...
What is
he's
isn't
a
he's a bolter. He's out. He's living outside.
Oh, shit, right.
Yeah.
Maybe he escaped then.
Okay.
Maybe he hasn't escaped yet.
Okay. Well,
maybe
then
she meets him when he's escaping.
Oh.
I'll just leave it there. I'm not 100%. However...
You've already set up a situation whereby she could die.
Yes.
So, there's that.
That's true.
Are there any... So let's figure out what the conditions of the meeting are.
I kind of like the escaping, but what if this isn't the first time he's escaped? He's like... been brought back in, but he knows the outside better than the Marines do, because he's actually been out there already.
He smuggles food to those people outside.
Ooh. So he might actually be breaking into the dome.
Yeah.
Well, the other idea I had was, what if, like you said, he keeps getting hauled back in, but he keeps escaping now, and so maybe Jimmy's on the group that's on patrol going, tracking him down.
So,
that could bring the Flora into play as well, which might be interesting.
Maybe she's cornered him in the garden.
Mm. Or the ruins.
Yes, the garden.
Well,
the death garden.
The death garden is much
death
more
garden.
Fun. And then everybody could die. It'd be great.
Yeah. Go straight to the end of the game.
No, we still have one more after that.
No,
we could have
more than half.
More than half.
Yeah,
okay.
The original.
We could have a couple more characters there.
Yeah,
perhaps the judge is like a traveling judge.
Do we want to maybe
Duncan
just
again?
Why don't we just create a squad of Marines? We'll have two more Marines.
Okay.
Or maybe there's a Lag or a Sable that's ratting him out, and they're coming along.
Ooh, I like that.
Margaery Hood. Celebrating death.
So if
so, maybe Margaery.
She's like
is
the
person who informed the Marines and is leading them.
So
to
she's
Anders
like a famous
Gunmuth.
Informer, but she's also like she's a Sable, right?
Yes, she's a Lag or a Sable.
Yeah,
I think she's a Sable, and I think that. She's untouchable because she's
not a very good
fucking
Sable.
Someone important.
Oh, that's better. Sable.
Like the judge
or the governor,
which is
Whoa.
Why he cared so little about his wife's life. I think this makes sense, actually. I'm just saying.
So,
I assumed it was a loveless marriage that was arranged earlier.
So as the informant, she's out there. So I could play Margaery if you want, or somebody else at the table could play Margaery. So we have whose characters currently in the scene?
Anders,
Jimmy, Margaery.
You want to play Margaery, or do you want to bring another character?
I'm not supposed to play a character.
Oh yeah, Will. Yeah. Sorry. Do you want to play?
Who's your other character?
I've got the Dimmerdammer.
Yeah, the big
right,
the big
Julene.
I think that there's a couple of other Marines there. We can name them if we need to. But I don't think we need to. Squad of three plus the, and she's. I want to say that she's probably in a rebreather, and the rest of you are in like proper suits, right? Except for the Bolter's probably also in a rebreather, right?
Yeah, I think Anders should just be in just have like a face mask.
Yeah.
You know.
So he's having pressure effects potentially, but not.
He could also hypothetically be a little bit more acclimatized to them, though.
If he's escaped multiple times. Yeah. So, who's playing who?
I'm playing Jimmy Saw.
And you're Anders. And, okay, and so...
So, one of you need to be Marjorie. Right.
I could be Marjorie, you could be Marjorie.
I'll play Marjorie.
So, are we at the spot where she claims he's hiding out, or...
He's right over there. Why do I have to weigh one of these things? It's making my head swim.
Prisoner 14444. We have the garden surrounded. Come out. We'll go easy on you.
You'll never take me alive!
If that's the way you want it, that's your choice.
Well, he's in there somewhere, but you can't just shoot into that thing. It'll explode. Kill all of us. And she kind of backs off a little bit. She doesn't want any part of this mess.
Are you trying to get them all killed, Marjorie? Everyone who's not you.
Maybe.
Guys, put the guns on single fire. We don't want to accidentally set the mortar plants off.
Kenneth, why did you pick this spot?
Because he is well practiced with knives and shivs, and knows that, and he's also feels fairly confident in his ability to lose them or fight them if he needs to be in this location where they can't use their guns against him as effectively.
Well, go on.
What do you do?
We're gonna go in after him, man. There's no choice for it.
A broad smile under her mask, and she kind of takes off her face and just watches you guys.
You're coming with us, lady.
No, me? What, you
Someone's
think I'm crazy? I'm not going in there.
Someone's got to guide us through it.
I led you to... I don't know that place. I led you to him. Now you do your job.
We can do our job. You're going to come with us.
No.
Yes.
No. I'm not obliged to.
You might be. You're obliged to.
Civility.
Yeah, I suppose I am. All right. I'm staying behind you guys.
That's fine, but you stick with us and let us know if you see them. You know this area better than we do.
So, I managed to get you guys all separated, and I'm following you, Jemmy. And I think we run into you.
I imagine I have a knife to one of the Marines' throats.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
And
this may actually be one of those rare scenes where you might roll the dice twice.
Take one more step, I'll slit his throat.
Slit his throat, you're dead.
You shoot me, he kind of scoots over until he's in front of one of the plants. Your bullet runs the risk of detonating this whole field. I'm not going to bow down to you, Marine scum.
Do you have to take him alive?
I don't think so, but it's still dangerous. I think we find out what happens here. All right, that's a tie, and savagery is going to dominate indulgence.
Oh, gosh.
But also, two tied fives with a four. The cat is out of the bag, whatever that means. There's some secret that gets revealed.
Meow. Oh, is there?
I think,
There is a cat in this scene.
There is a cat in the scene. Mm-hmm. So I think Marjorie steps back behind a rock that's in the field, and she's got a gun that you did not know she had, and she detonates the plant between you. I think everybody dies.
Does Marjorie die, though? I don't think Marjorie
dies. No, Marjorie doesn't die.
Wouldn't it run the risk of detonating the whole field, though?
She actually knows a little bit more about the field than you thought that she said she did.
I feel like the brief but explosion legend of Anders
Jemmy would have gone ahead and shot Gunsmith as the explosion
That's
started
true.
Happening.
That's true. So we have two dead characters. bringing our body count to 4. Well, our tired character count to 4.
Three
dead characters and
one
Oathbreaker. One of them
didn't get named.
But that means each of you can generate or take a new character. Would one of you like to play her?
Yeah, I'll take Margaret. Sure, why not?
And we gotta find an oath for her. Roll oath.
61.
I will never allow blank to best me. I almost want to say anyone. But it's your choice.
Any what about, man.
What about
authority? On man.
What?
What about authority?
So she's kind of like faction neutral because both are trying to exert authority over her?
She fights authority.
Authority actually was the word for the civilian side.
Oh,
so actually,
just
anyone could be anybody.
Yeah. I mean, could
anyone
be
in power?
Anyone, but
what do you want to do? You're calling.
Yes, authority. Why not? Never let authority get the better of me.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly didn't. Had to take out Gunmyth to do it, but
he was a loose cannon anyway.
Oh, that's just an urban legend.
Legend of Gunmyth.
So, and then who are you taking? You can add a notable.
You can't have Gil. He's my favorite.
Gil's dead.
No,
Gil's not dead. That's right.
I could take Davian.
Who's just been let out.
Yeah. He is now a free man again. Second time.
Second time today.
Johnny, your frame. Hmm? Or your question. Your turn.
Do I need to... Oh,
yeah,
we need
no
come
frame.
Up
that's
a
true.
Frame.
Roll.
Never let a housewife 42. Defeat me.
Aha, I've already succeeded in my oath.
The way it reads is, I will never forgive those who break the law, but I kind of maybe sort of change that to, I will never forgive those who threw me unjustly in prison.
Well, that was breaking the law.
Fair enough.
I'll never forgive those who wronged me. I kind of want to see some of the top dogs here. What will Julian do for Sayla to get Levy into her pocket? Is that too broad of a question?
No, I think that's great. But you should prompt people then with questions about, like, so, what? Where are you meeting? What are you talking about? What is it that you want? Et cetera, et cetera. Like, you need to push the scene.
Okay, so I think this would probably be...
So, what am I...
Well, hold on a second.
So, can I clarify?
Yeah.
I'm attempting to do something to Sayla. I think specifically four for this question.
Yeah.
That
will give you leverage over Levy.
Doesn't he already have, or she already have leverage over Levy? As Dimber Damber and Captain Sharp?
Maybe Levy does his own thing. And won't kick upstairs.
Maybe Levy does his own thing because he knows he's the brother of the Governator.
Right.
And he refuses to pay for protection, which means he is not taking part in your racket.
No. All right.
So you need
to... He's a loose cannon.
So, where would this
happen?
Double
time.
Jim Denver is probably wealthy enough. She could probably get into the governor's, like, meeting room, at least, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to meet in your parlor?
Mm-hmm. It's very nice. Very postmodern. Lots of windows. She's wearing, like a fancy, like, pantsuit. Blonde hair pulled up in a bow. Very... orderly looking.
Julian's got a black dress on. It's not like really, really form fitting, and she's got flats rather than heels. And she may or may not have some guns strapped to her, just in case. She looks like she's wearing for business, but maybe not. All the way business.
Oh, and also Sayla has, like, her aide next to her that's, like, typing something on some sort of holographic thing. It's, you know, sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
We'll give the aide a name. I'll give the aide a name.
Yeah, give her a name. You want me to roll dice?
Yeah, why not?
65.
Theria. We won't give her a last name. We'll just call her Theria.
Okay.
So... Wants to? Do you want to, Duncan? Do you want to play Theria until your character becomes relevant?
Sure.
To the scene?
Sure. Well, I'm glad that you agreed to meet with me. Your brother's giving me quite a hard time.
He can get that way sometimes, but he doesn't work for me, so I haven't seen him in a little while.
See, I've been trying to get him to play ball, understand the game, and, well, frankly, he's shaking things up.
Nothing my Marines can't handle, I assume.
Ah, but get the Marines involved in something like this. I bet you could talk to him.
So what do I get out of this?
Well, I know that laborers are a commodity around here that's very important. There's some outcasts that I know that wouldn't be missed.
I think I'm going to go ahead and roll some dice here. So,
no, that's servility. Savagery.
Looks like indulgence is going to win out over servility.
So what are you promising her? Just
slaves.
She has that, though.
Sure.
she has all of these people already, though.
Yeah, anyway, she's the governor.
Mm.
To turn that around, she could arrange for some. Perhaps there's some people in the very lowest rungs that are basically dead weight, but for one reason or another, some sort of oblique political connection, they need to still be fed, and it's putting a strain on the colony. And so they could disappear.
I realize the judge's son, he's had a whole lot of strain on him, I hear. And, well, his son is an issue, as you know. I could maybe help stabilize the judge. He doesn't need to be bothered with all the heartbreak of having his son run amok, too. Keep the gears greased.
So you remove this problem of mine, and what would you want from me, exactly?
Just talk to your brother. Tell him how important it is that hierarchies are maintained, and, you know, I'm not opposed to giving him a larger cut than I had originally intended, but order needs to be maintained. We can't have chaos running through the streets, gangs forming.
I'm inclined to agree.
Alright, I think that's seen. What is your oath?
Never let honor interfere with personal gain.
Perfect.
Like,
so you actually both went along with your oath in this one.
Yeah.
And that snowballs into a scene that I think that I can figure out how to work you in.
Now, don't we have to take a discussion break?
We do have to take a discussion break. So, is there any particular... I sort of see us... I mean, we're getting close mechanically to the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have anything that they would like to see? Any character they'd like to see, involved, or any story arc that they'd like to see tied up at this point?
I really want to see how the judge handles his wife's death. And whether he rationalizes that in his brain as, like, justice being served, or whether he loses his faith in the system, or what have you. Because I think that's very traumatic.
Yeah.
And it might end up changing his views a little bit. Or his loyalties.
Okay,
I see that being interesting.
Especially because Gil has agreed that Davian was the bad guy in that situation. So if he were to bring Gil in, he would totally corroborate the wife's story.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
new evidence has come to light.
Or maybe Gil doesn't know that she died.
Oh,
and
yes.
Gil just comes forward that he was planning on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
got the vouchers for the abbot, got the full belly, and then filled his part of the bargain.
Full belly for my...
And then now the judge is working late at night, trying to piece the pieces together, trying to figure it out.
A little montage.
Yeah, actually, this could just be a montage scene. This could be a vignette. So, I think I'm going to ask... So, we're going to fast forward a little bit here in time, and I'm going to ask, how does Judge Varford... does Judge Varford take advantage of the death of both of his wife and his son?
Is his son dead or just disappeared?
We don't know what happened to him.
But
he isn't... Stories about his exploits aren't coming in.
Yeah.
And embarrassing me anymore.
Wait, was...
As an excuse to settle a personal score. To
use his
position
to
settle a personal score. And I'm going to let you guys figure out what that is.
Hmm.
Is that okay?
That seems interesting.
I think the answer could be no. I'm inclined, since we've only actually been playing the game for like the actual scenes of the game for like a little over an hour, that we could even if he breaks his oath, we could go a few more if it makes sense to him. I don't necessarily feel like the need to, if this happens, just bang, finish it up right here. You know what I'm saying? We could
always make the decision to break the oath and then break it and then make the actual oath breaking later after some other stuff that happened.
Yeah, you're right. That actually could be a thing too.
You know,
so we could actually have the other scene anyway.
Exactly.
All right. So you guys frame. I don't have any more input here.
Well, have I run out of cops yet?
You crunch all you want. We'll make more. You want to roll some up?
Do you want to just use Roby?
Yeah, Roby might not be a bad choice for that. For example, getting the chief of police, or not chief of police,
captain of the Marines
to step in on my behalf and acquire certain fugitives of the law for...
So what is your personal vendetta against these particular fugitives?
Well, I think this particular fugitive...
Devian?
Devian... I think he was clearly guilty. And my wife died for nothing defending her honor. Because we've heard this new evidence.
But because your wife is not there to accuse, you can't properly try him under the law?
But I know...
You know he's guilty.
I know he's guilty.
So you're going to frame him for something else?
Well, I hear fleeing from the police... is a capital offense.
Most excellent. So, who's in the scene with you? You guys can all contribute. Somebody needs to play Roby. I can't do it.
I can do Roby.
Well, I took over Davian, but he may not be one for this world.
Or were you going to want to watch it?
You could watch it on, like, a screen from your office.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have like a drone or cameras or something.
So maybe you guys are on like comm.
We're on comm.
So this doesn't have to be.
Like,
is
like maybe he can
Margaery
see.
Margaery there with you?
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Margaery?
I'm sorry, I can't actually say yes.
Sure.
Margaery should totally be there.
Stroking your ego.
Is that what you're stroking, Margaery?
What?
What?
Helping him recover from his.
Maybe she was, like, the informant that like, helped him find Devian.
It seems to be her typical modus operandi. I know where he's hiding.
So you do not have video on, then?
No.
Okay.
This would be a video chat if
video.
I were wearing pants.
Well,
we're having some trouble with that.
I'm with you. This is no video.
I can't get the video to work.
It's all right, sir. I understand. I will... give you verbal confirmation when the target is acquired.
So, what are you talking about when your mouth is free?
Whoa.
Come on now.
Are you gonna
Are you gonna get him? Kill him? The man who took your wife from you?
Yes, I suppose I am. You know, she was innocent. For a while, I wasn't even sure.
It's a sick world.
I wish we could try him again, but we released him. There wasn't enough evidence.
What are you guys doing?
I imagine he's, what is it, Roby is tracking, and like, he's maybe out in the Badlands, outside of the city.
Davian's what, one of the...
Or is
oh, no, he was released on just regular, right? So yeah. Maybe he's just tracking him in the streets.
Are you in the streets, or have you fled to the caves?
I'm thinking I actually went to the abandoned warehouse, and I've got, ooh, like, the one with all the windows that got blown out.
Ah.
And I'm picturing, like...
The research station.
Yeah, like, you know, you see in the crime movies where the, like, serial killer or whatever, or the detective sometimes has got, like, this thing with, like, strings going all over the place and people's names, and, like, I'm trying to figure out how to get back his wife. Because I don't think Davian actually knows she died.
No, that wouldn't...
It wouldn't really be publicized, no.
No.
So then maybe the Marines are stacking up outside the door, and they, like... And they can kind of see him through the windows. And they're, like, radioing him, you know, at, like, at each step, being like, you know, do we take the shot? Are we, you know, that sort of thing. Make the final thing his call.
You see him? You see the man for who... My wife died for? Because of?
Yes, sir. He, he's looking at some papers on the wall. Got
Marguerite,
a good shot.
Shoot him in the leg. Close to your face to watch on the camera. Transfixed.
Leg, sir? It's not standard procedure.
I want him to die slowly.
Move out of frame while you guys are talking. Maybe back in frame and then back out again as I wander around inside the...
In my, yeah. His gun's kind of moving around.
I think the scene cuts to black and there's a gunshot. And you've broken your oath, sir. So, on the broken oath, things happen. A notable, not necessarily the oathbreaker, changes position on the ladder. A planetary survey of colonial record assessment changes for better or for worse. The unique drive for the game changes. Not only that, but we also have another fatality.
Where is, Oh, he's not on.
That's...
Oh, he's down here.
Oh, no. Jimmy Saw is back now.
Oh, and Andrews died.
It's fine.
Yeah, we're over the limit now, but we can keep going a little bit if you like.
I think we should maybe go once more around, finish the
yeah, loop. You get to Yanni, and then we'll just be done.
I think that the judge is going to become a free colonist.
You can move to any position on either side of the ladder. So decide what's most appropriate in this case.
I think retiring would
okay,
make
so
more
he's
sense
a
than becoming an actual convict.
Yeah. So he's just a retired swell. He's
yeah.
Okay, move him down. And he can occupy the same space as someone else. That's not actually a problem. Alright. So you need a new character. Or you should just keep the one you have. It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, I still got
Freda.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
It's fine. We won't have to create another one. Alright, Will, your frame.
Alright.
Or your question, I should say.
Of the surviving characters.
Yup. This game is not kind.
Alright. Is Celia Crawford happy with the way Freda Haley got rid of Frandon?
So we're going back to... Oh, wait.
Is the governor, Celia Crawford, happy with the way Freda Haley, the abbess...
I still have it.
Abbot.
Hey, Abbot.
Got rid of...
Judge Varford.
So,
That kind of implies that it was a tricksy plan all along.
Maybe it was.
Maybe
I mean,
it
you
was.
Were looking to bribe some folk.
It wouldn't necessarily
to crimes.
Now the abbot wouldn't necessarily have had all the steps planned out,
mm-hmm.
but sending weird things going on in the life of the judge.
Oh, I think that what's-her-name is involved somehow. What's-her-name is always involved.
Yes. Marguerite?
Marguerite is totally involved in this plot.
Oh, yeah.
So now we have, well, now we have Marguerite, we have Sila, we have
Frida.
Frida, yeah.
Who's Frida? Who's playing Frida?
He's Frida.
I'm Frida.
And you're Marguerite Duncan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yep, works out.
All right.
Where
are you guys?
Yeah, we're...
Do you want to be seen with the abbot?
Maybe I'm looking for my mom.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think she would.
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be her talking to Marguerite.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no abbot at all in the scene?
At least not yet.
Or is there some neutral location you can meet at? Abbot, you remember, you are the principal of vice.
Mm-hmm.
My other thought was, what if she set it up so her aide goes? And then just has like a video feed, Skype style.
Alright, so what do we... Who did we call it? What was the aide's name?
The aide was Theria.
Theria. I'll be Theria.
Okay.
I'm running around with like a little Google Glass.
Yeah.
Google Glass on. And so the abbot, so Sila's in the scene. You're talking to me,
and then you're talking to them. Correct.
Maybe.
And where are we meeting you then?
Probably one of the nicer restaurants on the convict side of the place, which might actually be nicer than the
like a black market like tavern kind of.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say you're rich enough to go to probably into the authority side.
Right,
it's true.
And wouldn't the governor's aide look less out of place on the authority side?
Maybe looking less out of place isn't the goal.
The governor's aide knows how to slum it a little bit if she needs to.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I kind of feel like with access to black market goods, the convict like fancy restaurant actually be
more your taste.
Well, no, I was gonna say like fancier than the authority one.
Okay,
because authority one can only get stuff legitimately.
Oh.
We can get stuff legitimately and illegitimately.
I like it. Okay, all right.
Probably have like weird explosive vegetation that has to be cut exactly right, but tastes really good.
Yeah,
it's super illegal.
It's like the inside is delicious, but the outside is explosive.
You can't bring that.
It's
shit.
The inside's all right, but everyone says it's delicious.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that sushi, except that instead of it accidentally killing the patron, it kills the chef.
It just blows up the whole kitchen.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The people who do it are really good. Somewhere else.
The people who are bad aren't. There's
yeah,
no. There is no one that.
There's no
bad.
One who's bad at it.
So
they're perfect. Never failed.
Highest successor of any profession.
So what's the name of the place? Is it Freitas?
It should be Freitas.
Could be more your taste.
Or
more your taste.
How about
I like more your taste.
I was gonna say actually Haley's after the comet, not after myself, but
I was thinking what about the convent or like not just a convent but
nunnery.
Well, what's the monk's version? I forgot what it's called.
Abbey.
Abbey. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, the Abbey. Or something like that, so, to kind of reference...
Like the downtown Abbey.
Yeah. Gosh.
I do like the Abbey, though. Because it implies that it's associated with the Abbey,
yeah.
But you couldn't prove it.
Yeah.
All right. See, that she's got me... Or, sorry, Miss what's your... Your Excellency, sorry. Your Excellency, they have me at the Abbey. Should I proceed inside?
Yes.
Okay. She sits down all prim and proper. She's got her little tablet out.
Thea, right?
Theria.
I'm sorry. What do I owe the pleasure of your visit? Can I get you something?
What is it you've told me to do?
Are
you pleased or displeased? Or do you not know what actually happened?
I'm thinking that one. I'm thinking she's maybe a little annoyed that her judge had to kind of disgracefully retire.
But she's also kind of in the dark as to what actually he did versus.
Do you know
just
that Marg?
Oh, she did. She
do
did.
You know that Margaery was involved?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, Her Excellency the Governatrix has some questions about the fate of a certain Mr. Varford.
She's welcome to come and ask them to me. But
I do not believe that would be prudent at this juncture.
At
however,
the dinner table, it is generally considered rude to be fiddling with your toys.
Hood. Miss Hood, what is your purpose here? This meeting was supposed to be arranged between me and
Haley.
Ms. Haley. I wouldn't call you the abbot.
I'm here to make sure that I receive my proper payment.
Payment?
What payment?
Payment for what, miss?
Services rendered.
It's all above the board, I can assure you.
Is it now?
Please ask the abbot.
It is now.
To elaborate.
Yeah, I think Her Excellency would like some more information about what exactly is above or below board. I would remind you that in the absence of a judge advocate, it is her call what is above and below board.
Now, before you react to this information, or whatever it's going to end up being, did you want your judge to step down? Was that the purpose of this?
I think so. Because I think she wants someone she can manipulate, and he would never abuse his power.
Hmm.
But at the same time...
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing, exactly.
Yeah.
Having his wife die, and that whole fiasco...
Mm-hmm.
And
son's
missing. It was just a mess.
The Governatrix is pleased that you're... She kind of looks at Margaery and says... It sort of holds her, bites her tongue. Is it all right to be discussing this in front of the Sable?
Yes, we can always deal with her if we must.
All right, then. As I was saying, it is... the Governatrix is pleased that you were able to, I assume, arrange the retirement of the Judge Advocate. However, there was a rather public scandal surrounding it. Rumors of an affair, death of two prominent members of the colony, free members of the colony. And she kind of, like, looks at you, squints a little, like, gives you a little side eye when she says free, and then looks at you, Margaery. So, she's not convinced that she is going to follow through on the original terms of the deal.
Has she picked somebody new to be judge instead of our previous candidate?
Do you have a new candidate?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it won't be convenient, but if that's the way it's gotta be, I suppose it's the way it's gotta be.
So you're agreeing that you're in breach of contract?
Oh, no.
As agreed.
She's changing. If the governess is changing the deal, then she's the one that's in breach of contract. But I understand how difficult these things can be. I'm willing to work with her.
How hard are you willing to go on this?
I think she's a little bit... She's in closer with the Dimber Damber. And if he proves a problem... Because remember, she helped him get leverage on him. Or her, rather.
Yeah.
You got leverage on Levy.
Yeah.
Oh, that was on Levy.
Yeah.
Right. I was just looking at the position.
Yeah,
we've got
two guys in that spot.
You're right.
I wonder if Levy's the one in consideration for the new Judge Advocate spot.
That could be how.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
That would be
to get Levy to calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Give him some responsibility. Yeah. Oh God. Oh,
this is not nepotistic at all.
How hard are you willing to come down on the criminal element if they don't play nice?
Oh, extremely.
The Governatrix suggests that it might be in your best interests to forget things. Let sleeping dogs lie, as it were.
I see.
I will still get my payment, right?
Well, yeah, you guys seem to be disagreeing.
Do it.
Yeah. These
double twos, double twos, baby, do it. Indulgence dominates servility.
Woman's gotta eat.
I'm willing to discuss what happens here. How does indulgence play into this?
I think the abbot is willing to alter the plan as long as she still gets paid, but isn't willing to, like, she's not going to not eat. She's going to honor her oath, which is to always eat well. And part of that is working with the governess.
What is Marguerite's oath?
Marguerite's oath is to never let authority get the better of her.
Hmm.
Well, it sounds like authority's trying to get the better of you. Yeah.
Well, no, as long as I get paid.
Yeah. So the question is, how does indulgence, what is your oath?
I'll never let honor interfere with personal gain.
Maybe there's some sort of a mutually beneficial arrangement that you can come to, because it seems like indulgence, you all want to get some.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can all get some.
Yeah. I think that, yeah.
So how do you all get some? We can just finish the scene by saying what happens.
Maybe we agree on Levy being the new candidate, but otherwise the terms remain the same. We still get paid.
So you don't stand in the way of Levy taking that position.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So I
can have a candidate that I want after that debacle, but I will still pay you guys.
I wonder
what
if
I agree.
The Dimber Damber has something to say about this, but that's not my turn to ask a question.
You might not be too happy about
this.
She. Yeah.
It's okay as long as I get food.
I like the idea of Levy being head judge. Marguerite does.
Of course Marguerite does.
You have a good relationship with the office.
It's not the relationship with the office, it's having an animal in charge of meeting out death.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Marguerite, if nothing else, Marguerite does enjoy that sort of thing. As long as she's not the one being dead. Who's got the next question?
I do. Is Julian Oakes, the Dimber Damber, okay with Levy's, I guess, reaction to his newfound power?
What are the two oaths?
Just
to clarify.
Julian is never prevent outcasts from being harmed. And Levy, it will...
never pay for protection.
Never pay for protection.
So that suggests that maybe Julian wants protection.
Yeah.
Wants Julian's trying to shake him down. And you should ask questions about that. Who's playing Julian? You're playing Julian and you're playing Levy.
Levy.
So you should ask them questions to sort of set up the conflict more.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
You guys can decide on the scene framing if you want while she's thinking.
I assume maybe you want a court case to go a certain way, or want justice to turn a blind eye to something?
Not necessarily. I think
justice to turn a hawk eye to something.
You were my underling. And now you seem to be escaping from me. A valuable resource is leaving.
I'm pretty leaving.
And I think that's how we can put pressure on your oath.
Well, I was also thinking if maybe he is using his power. Maybe like Sela is kind of using him because she knows she can manipulate him to kind of clear out the riffraff, and so the outcasts are starting to kind of get really suffer.
like in
she
numbers.
Doesn't care about the, that's the whole point. She doesn't care about the outcasts.
Right, but on large enough, but it's putting pressure on it because if a large enough people are suffering, would she care?
Because
I think that's for them to decide.
Oh, okay.
Since yeah.
Okay.
Where are we?
Yeah, why don't we set the scene?
What was the question?
In my new judicial chambers.
I like it.
You get the robe and the wig.
Yes.
Yeah.
The robe and the wig.
And you're like this.
And the tats.
Yeah. And there's like 3 days of stubble. Like you're just this
yep.
enormous dude with like a.
Since we're not actually in court, and I know you. You know, just robe sitting open. You got like a dragon, like a space worm. What can I do for you?
And you can pop in and ask questions at any point, obviously.
Well, Levy, I was just dropping by your new office. It's very nice.
Very oak.
You know, I thought you were happy back with us. Making a good bit of scratch.
You know, Julian, I try to be happy everywhere I go.
Well, there's where we might have a problem. You know, I'm worried about you.
Me?
Judge advocate is a very important position. A lot of people... Well, you saw what happened to the last one.
To be fair, he had more legal knowledge than sense, I'd say.
Maybe. Regardless, I think you'll find that now that you're no longer in my employ, I can't protect you the same way I did before. I don't have men to guard you the way it was convenient.
Did you see those two men with guns as you were walking in?
That's right. Almost as scary as three men with guns.
Would Levy really be scared of the criminal element? Being so close to the governor, the governess, in power.
No.
So, why do you think that that would scare him? Why do you think that you hold leverage over him?
I think that I hold leverage over him just because he's in his new digs doesn't mean he's safe.
Physically, and or just...
Physically. Certainly he believes that he's safe, but... You can get all kinds of crazy people into crazy places. Mobs of them, even.
I pull out my gun. There are three men with guns here.
That's true.
Desk.
But...
Hold on.
Nice. Almost.
Still...
Indulgence.
Still indulgence.
Dominate.
Indulgence. So, why? Alright, what can you do for me?
Well...
That my sister can't already.
You know, mobs are nasty things, and they might not like their new judge advocate. I'm sure you might make a few mistakes in your first job. It's natural. For a small fee, I think I could probably keep them at bay, keep them well fed, so they're not knocking on your door.
Small fee...
Keeps the world turning.
Would you feel like you could be able to take this to your sister, the governess, and have her deal with this to avoid paying the mob?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm trying not to be in their pocket, but let's be fair, she is. They're mutually in each other's pockets.
That's madness.
Very strange pants.
Pocket within a pocket.
They could just have a hand within each person's pocket.
Get
some tables involved. Yeah.
Well, there's no way I can swing it. Suppose I probably need you as much as you need me. Makes me sick to my ass to say it.
We might be able to work out something. I'm sure you can find in certain favors, it wouldn't even have to cost you very much. Maybe not even any money.
Oh, I didn't think we were talking about money.
All right, then. Well, that's wonderful to hear.
I guess just kick it up the chain when you need a court case to go your way.
I always
do. Oh. Sold out to the man.
It's not my fault.
I know.
Even if the man is a hot, sexy female man.
All right. and also not the man. The opposite
However,
of the man, actually. So what would you like to do?
Change the world.
You do get to change the world.
Just 10 seconds to change the world.
So you can change the drive to anything you want. You can change the survey assessment to anything you want. You can change a notable...
I can't change the colonial record, though.
You can change either one.
I can? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to change... Wait, I changed the colonial record last time.
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And justice is no longer universal.
Damn it.
Wait, justice is universal now.
I'm the effect of my own colonial record
change.
Well,
maybe the drive changes.
That's true.
That'd be interesting.
From indulgence to something else. What do the people want now? That
control.
Things are shit.
It looks like control.
Control or freedom?
I was thinking
or safety.
Things
from
haven't...
Judge Dredd.
Oh, well, safety implies
a completely different
order. Like safety just basically says, yeah, things have gone to absolute shit. There's rioting in the streets. People burning shit down. There's armed troops everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I am gonna change the drive.
That's
to
awesome.
Safety.
All right,
because
so maybe we jump ahead in time a
little
bit.
This guy is gun heavy.
And things have gotten real, real bad.
The governor's mansion is just locked down.
Yeah.
Oh, you got it.
Key cases are important.
It's true.
And you have the next question.
Oh, snap.
Snap.
Okay, who's still alive?
Hmm?
We're actually already done, but
yeah,
we're just going to go around
okay.
to Yanni.
Two more scenes, and then we're done.
Okay, because you said earlier it was mechanically approaching.
Yeah, when you knock off five characters, when five characters either die or break their oath, then the game's supposed to end. But we went through characters real quick.
Yeah, we had a couple, like, we had a scene where, like, two or three people died.
In one big explosion.
And actually,
yes.
One of the things the book says is that, like, if you slaughter a bunch of named characters early on, you can just ignore that and proceed as it and keep playing. Like, yeah.
We certainly slaughtered a bunch of named characters.
We're kind of running out of people.
Good. We're almost done.
I mean, we're past done. We're running out of people.
Who's left? Who hasn't?
We have Farida, Marguerite, Julien, the Abbot. Oh, wait, that's Farida.
Yep.
I'm there
and
twice.
And Sila, more or less. Most of these other people are dead or oath breakers. And I'd never put an oath breaker in a scene. I think. Alright.
What is the abbot doing now that people aren't interested in luxury?
Ooh.
Good question.
I think she is trying to set up a deal with Robbie. Is somebody
Robbie.
playing Robbie?
I'll play Robbie.
Kind of.
Okay. For protection, because...
What's her oath?
Always eat well. But people aren't as interested in food. They don't have time for delicacies.
Where are we meeting?
I think maybe I've come to Roby.
In his office. And people, like, it is heavily guarded. But he lets you in because he knows that you have pull. And one thing he respects is pull.
Get a lot of strings.
And Duncan, remember to ask questions anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name again?
Freda.
What do you want, Freda?
Oh, what everybody seems to want these days. Reassurance, safety, the presence of strong men with guns, keeping everything the way it should be.
Isn't the upright lady in charge of keeping you people safe?
Well, yes, but
sometimes special dispensations are in order. If extra consideration is needed, then...
What do you have to offer me?
Well, I happen to know your chef. It's not so great. We could...
Really? I didn't notice. You know, back on the battle cruiser, we reprocessed algae every day.
Ah. Oh, that makes me cringe just to think of it.
I bet it does, and he sort of looks your fat, sloppy body up and down.
Have you ever cut a production deal like this with anyone else before?
Cut a... Taken bribes to do what I... To taken bribes to do something to get what I wanted?
Yeah.
Yes. All the damn time.
Okay.
Generally with citizens.
Yes. With those who the law would not look askance against. Often with, for instance, the judge, who the law can't look askance against. Never with anyone from that side of things. I have to maintain appearances, after all. I am the captain of the Marines. But I hear what you're saying. Romeo hasn't been taken by anyone, has he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just checking. I was ganking somebody's character here. So what is it you have to offer me? Food, you say?
Sure. Surely you and your men would like the occasional repast that isn't just the bare minimum.
Supplies have been short lately, and some of my higher-ranking officials have been complaining, but... I thought you were the one skimming all of the extra food. If, you know, my informants are to be believed.
We have a rowdier bunch coming around the Abbey these days. It's...
Yeah, this is a good time to...
That didn't change
much.
At all. Anything.
Indulgence.
For that matter.
No,
safety, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. If...
How about this? You give back all those food vouchers you've been skimming. It looks like you can spare it. He looks you up and down again with a look of disgust. And he says, and we'll make sure you're kept safe and paid in other ways. Weapons, body armor, a few things could go missing. And not that any of it would fit you.
I was going to suggest that I could offer free meals to a couple of your higher-ups every day or so. They get their fancy meals, and we would have a nice presence to keep the unruly riffraff out of the Abbey.
You know what?
Nothing.
We didn't have this conversation, and I'm going to give you the name of the person who takes the fall if this deal ever gets found out.
Deal? What? We would like to offer our services to the fine, upstanding military
service.
Sure,
whatever. Let me get out of my office.
It's a pleasure.
Did you break your oath?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Like,
I was trying to get you to, and you didn't.
Yeah, no.
But indulgence won out.
Except it's actually safety.
Oh, safety won out, yeah.
Like, because, you know, who's... Even on the criminal side, no one's going to go and fuck with you if there's a couple of Marines sitting there eating dinner.
That's true.
At least no one's smart.
So we have three Marines.
So you get to be the last one. So ask a good question. We don't have a whole lot of characters
left. No pressure,
left.
No pressure, you say.
No pressure.
What does it all mean?
We already did that one.
I don't believe you.
What's Marjorie Seth again?
I will never let authority get the better of me.
What is Marjorie's plan to get out from under Levy's thumb?
Since you're the only... Since you're the character in the scene.
Can I be Marjorie and Levy at the same time? No, we don't want to see that happen.
Yes, let's let you talk to yourself for 5 minutes.
We're at an impasse. Roll
dice. I can cue up the Yakety Sax music.
Alright, so... But I can't prostrate myself before authority. Because that's not how I roll.
I get to roll.
Does Levy even need to be in the scene? If it's about her plan to get away.
That's true. Levy does not actually need to be in the scene.
The only way to kill a judge is to blow up the planet he's on.
No.
You get
well
from
protected.
Orbit. The only way
no.
to be sure.
I don't know. We do still have all the those mortar pods.
Oh, yeah, those grenades. All those grenades.
Hey,
oh,
how
yeah.
Why don't you come out to
the that disappeared before the game started.
No, there's only one authority that Marguerite is willing to put herself before. And it's also the one man she can trust to share her vision of death. It's the madman.
In the garden.
In the garden of death. So she goes to the garden of death in search of him. She's been here before. And she finds him. Somebody want to be the madman? Somebody want to be the madman?
Or do you just want to describe him and say what happens?
Alright. The madman is completely off his rocker. He's been living strictly off of meat for the past 5 years. That's how long he's been out here.
So he's got scurvy and rickets and...
And the first thing he tries to do when he sees her is eat her. But she's packing.
I imagine he's like his skin is hanging off and he's like bleeding from his eyes.
I kind of picture like
it's pretty bad.
The plant or whatever that he's got has
oh yeah
completely subsumed into his face and it's almost not possible
yeah.
to tell like
he's,
where he ends and the plant begins.
He's actually infected by some sort of brain leaf type of plant that's affixed itself to the base of his skull and has wrapped itself around his face and fused with him. And
leaving his mouth with all sorts of big pointed teeth exposed.
Yes. And he tries to eat her, but she bests him by having a gun, which he doesn't have because he's a deranged hermit. And, she spends some time out there to gain his trust, and once she has, she convinces him to send his, to send plants to attack the civilian, the citizen side of the colony.
And so there's basically just...
So he can talk to the plants then?
Yes, he's got the brain leaf.
Anyone can talk to a plant.
That's true. But they can understand him.
Most people aren't crazy enough to try.
So
they can understand
him. So I'm seeing this like in the dead of night, the plants come and like a big root comes and like shatters the wall of the dome.
The already weakened wall.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
where the crack
like,
that he
yeah.
That Marjorie knew of and she was able to tell him
yeah.
this is where he should attack.
So that hastily plastered over crack in the dome just shatters open.
Can I suggest that like over the night, we see, like, the, like, vines creeping over the thing, and, like, it's not discovered till the morning, and someone goes out there with a saw or something to try and hack the plants away, and then they just, like, start contracting and...
Yeah.
And tear down the wall.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as the crack opens, there's a wind blowing in, right? The toxic air is blowing
yeah.
in. And a whole bunch of... And now I'm sure that they've got, like partitions to keep, like, if there's a leak or something like that, but, like, colonists are like, because carbon dioxide is toxic at that concentration. Colonists are just dropping, like they're falling down and convulsing in pain, dropping dead. The Marines have their rebreathers, they have their emergency rebreathers, and they're trying to keep order. And there's an epic battle with the plants battling the Marines on the civilian side.
While the civilians who do have the masks are rioting, I'm sure.
Yeah, or yeah, they're marching on the governor's. Palace or whatever.
Who is just sitting up there trapped because her palace sealed itself off, so she is Atmo. But
yeah.
she can't leave because she's trapped inside.
And
with the plants on one side and the civilians on the other.
Levy comes out. He hears all the noise, and he comes out with his six guns. And he's trying
guns?
To fight back the plants. But that's when Marguerite's plan comes fully to fruition.
Yeah,
because she is standing right behind him.
And
shoots him in the back.
I think that's the end of the game.
And that's how she gets out from underneath.
Nice.
Levy's control.
That's awesome. And doesn't break her oath.
No,
it doesn't.
No. And actually, one of the things I read at the end of the game is you actually are supposed to go around one last time and tie up all the loose ends, which I think we did very nicely.
I think so.
Yeah.
The horrible disaster of a call.
Gil dies. Gil dies in the gutter. Dioxide poisoning. Two meal tickets left in his hand. His cold, dead fingers.
So that was Durance.
It was interesting.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
I think that worked better than most of the other DM-less games we've played so far.
I really liked the dice mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really nice way of doing it.
It sort of, yeah, it just pushes... This is by Jason Morningstar, who also did Fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see, like, you could tell that he was taking some of... the things that Fiasco sometimes doesn't give you guidance with, like, well or bad, does the scene go, or... how to frame scenes, and he's... You know what I said about, like, forcing... By making the questions, forcing you into an interesting scene.
Right? I kind of like having the dice tell you what to do rather than playing your character as a real person. Instead, you're playing your character, you know, to some extent as a real person, but you look to the dice to see how they really act.
And I would actually argue that Fiasco is not a play your character like a real person game.
Oh,
I think it's play for the funny, crazy story game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think playing this game actually would help you play Fiasco, because it would give you an idea of what sorts of things you should think about going into a scene, and how to, like, roll with, oh, that wasn't what I expected my character to do, but now that the scene's going to go badly, I'm going to do this. And maybe I learned something. Maybe the character isn't who I thought they were.
I kind of agree with Yanni. I really like the dice pushing you, kind of resolving it in the scene. I almost might change it to where you automatically roll the dice. Yanni's shaking his head. No.
I'm not.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Sometimes it's obvious, though. Like,
true.
And that's actually one of the problems that happens in Fiasco. You get to the middle of a scene, you're like, it's obvious this is going to go well for me, but somebody just handed me a black die, or they waited too long to decide, and now I have to get a white die because it's obvious that how it's going to turn out. I kind of like how it's like, sometimes the scene could just be like a vignette. It could be a single panel. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's fine.
Okay.
You don't necessarily have to roll. But I really do like that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to get trips, though.
I know.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff happens on a trip?
I'll read, there's only six of them, so I'll read what they are. How's that sound? I'll spoil it for you.
Just spoil one.
Oh, you can read the book.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. Tide Fives is epic event Planet of Doom. We all know the survey was faulty, but no one could have guessed they would lie. Do the natives reveal some new capability or resource that threatens the status quo? Does some deadly cyclical event happen that threatens the colony? Yeah, I mean, they're that type. They're all that type of thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're all like massive upheaval.
I think we had one without actually rolling for it.
Pretty much.
But that's the great thing about how it's like, oh, if it follows from the fiction, it just happens. If people die or go insane or get lost, it just happens. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to worry about it. It's only when none of that happens that you have to engage the rules.
I also really like the planet generation system.
Yeah. Planet generation
that
system
was fantastic.
Is awesome. And the summaries are all pretty epic.
I almost
so.
Want to use that for like a Traveler game or something, just to draw up random worlds collaboratively.
Actually, that's really interesting. Like, just like Microscope is a really neat way to make a backstory for, sort of a deep backstory for a game, this would actually be, playing a couple of rounds of this would actually be a good way to make a shallow backstory for a small setting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want Doomed Planet, then this is not necessarily a bad way to do that.
This podcast is fully copyrighted by its hosts. Visit us at podcastmagicmissile.com. I Podcast Magic Missile, attacking the darkness since 2012.